This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Seth, you haven't been traded or anything.
We haven't. I haven't been traded. Boy, there's a lot of news.
A
lot of news yesterday. Both with the trade, the hot stove league got fired up yesterday. Sean, we're cooking with gas.
We're cooking with gas. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Cam Akers, look, hey, turned nothing into something with that. You just sign him right before camp.
Yeah, man.
On a flyer. Guy's got a couple Achilles tendons. Like, yeah, let's see what he's got. Holy crap! First day he shows up, and he looked like. This guy never had, this is not the guy that had two Achilles tendon tears. And then he gets some opportunities to play, and all of a sudden he's got trade value. And like, off you go.
Yeah, yeah, Cam Akers. We barely knew ye. Got to do a post-game show interview with him during the preseason. He was a delightful guy. He was, this is where I felt for Cam Akers yesterday. For those who missed it, the Texans traded running back Cam Akers to the Minnesota Vikings for kind of a pick swap in a couple of years. It wasn't much.
Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden, you grabbed a second rounder out of this.
Right.
You kind of gained like half a sixth rounder.
Wasn't flip this house or anything like that. Yeah.
But we know that Nick loves his pocket change.
He does.
He keeps all this around. People always get nervous about, like, he's traded away all these picks. Like, yeah, I know. And then he gets all these back. These are transactions you don't even notice because does so many sixth and seventh round stuff.
These are coupons is what they are. Yeah. So they trade Cam Akers to Minnesota, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, I'm gonna kind of miss him. He was cool. He's building a house here in Houston. That was one of the big reasons he signed with the Texans. Is he's building
he
a house
here? Already has the house here.
Yeah, he's already got the house here. Now that's
where,
fine.
Did he say where it is?
I did not ask.
Because I know he won't be home, so if I want to case the joint, I'll be there some Sunday afternoon when the Vikings are playing.
2024, it's easy enough to find out, I guess, if you want to.
That's true.
But
your house in an LLC, young athletes.
There you go.
Or Dan Campbell.
Do you, right?
Sure, yeah. And don't have it be like sexy Aggie 97.
Right.
Or whenever he graduated.
Yeah. Dan Campbell's got stalkers,
sexy
man.
Aggie LLC.
Yep. I guess this Cam Akers trade is a statement that they're cool with what they've got in the running back room and that Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon, health-wise, are going to be A-okay?
Partly this, though, too, and I'll credit you with pointing this out early in the season, was when they had so many running backs and wide receivers in those meeting rooms that you still had, you had DeNico Autry on the suspension list, you had Kurt Heinisch, coming back at some point. So Kurt Heinisch was activated. Like the running back room wasn't going to stay that swollen for that long, especially once Joe Mixon and Dameon Pierce came back. So I know I saw immediately a lot of people said, like, well, what about the running back depth? They had way more. They have way more running back. They still have more running backs on the roster than most teams have on the roster.
Yeah, J.J. Taylor's still on the practice squad. And by the way, there's still 3 weeks, I think, till the trade deadline. You can pick up a running back if you want one. The Vikings just got Cam Akers for a 2026 pick swap. That's the running back market.
The Vikings-Texans trade pipeline, the Silk Road up through the Great Plains, is one that I didn't anticipate.
Yeah,
this seems to be their most favored nation right now.
Indeed, indeed.
Hey, real quick, since you mentioned coupons early, I'm going to give you a 30-second story. Yeah, one of the best lessons. You talk about veteran leadership. Mm-hmm. When I was a young player, Hardy Nickerson. Do you remember Hardy Nickerson?
I do.
Yeah. Texans signed him, or the Jaguars signed him late in his career. Mm-hmm. And one day in the training room, he was clipping coupons. And I'm like, hey, Hardy, what's up, man? Bad investments? What happened? And he's like, listen, man, start living this way now, because you don't want to, like, this is don't ever forget where you came from and how easily, quickly things can be taken away, and be frugal and pay attention to the little things. And it was a really good lesson for me. He's like, because I already was a made man to an extreme degree.
Oh, yeah.
He had that Dennis Hopper Nike commercial money. And,
he was in a Dennis Hopper Nike commercial?
He was in the Bad Things, man. Oh, one of those,
that's right. Hardy Nickerson, man.
You know what Hardy Nickerson would do if he knew I'd had his his shoes?
I totally forgot about that. That's
so
funny.
It was really cool. It was interesting. It was kind of like, he was one of the made men of the NFL, and he's sitting there clipping coupons on the training room table.
Do you think he was doing that purposefully, thinking some young guys might walk by, or do you think he was just like, no, legit, this might be the only chance I have to clip these coupons?
Oh no, that's legit exactly what he was doing. No, there was no
no showmanship with it or anything like that.
Hardy was he was an awesome, he was like one of the many people I met in the NFL who were just so impressive and from where they came from and how they grew up and the circumstances they were in, to like just like a complete and total mature and finished human being, you know. Like he was an impressive person.
You were around some interesting people on those Jacksonville teams. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, like Clyde Simmons late in his career, right? Hardy Nickerson. Was Carnell Lake on those teams?
Carnell Lake was there. That was when we went out. This is why I'm always, by the way, since I know we're going to come up, the fact that the Texans didn't trade for Justin Simmons, all these various other things. The feeling of like, okay, look, hey, this is a Super Bowl team. You got to sign everybody and every name that I know. That was that late stage. We'd been to two AFC championship games in 3 years. And Coughlin was getting desperate, and Coughlin was playing the Bill O'Brien role. He was this head coach / GM, really. And they went hog wild spending, and it killed them. It crushed them. Because they went for older veterans, Bryce Pop. And, we did have some interesting guys.
You Forrest Gump, you're like Forrest Gump with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You just found yourself around interesting people.
So that's my cautionary tale about overly spending. Yeah. I'm kind of grateful for it because I ended up in Houston, which was a much better fit for me in so many ways, like football and otherwise.
Yeah.
And plus, I could get away from all my old ex-girlfriends in Jacksonville. You know, my wife and I are there now, and I'm like, hey, listen, this is a small town.
Yeah.
Quit bumping into these hoes with my wife out to dinner. So, I'm just joking. There weren't that many hoes. So,
just a few.
So, you always get a little bit nervous about just like, all right, let's just start spending money on this. But with Bryce Pop, we're in minicamp. And we ran, I don't remember what play we ran, but I know that Bryce Pop was supposed to carry the tight end like in man coverage. And he came back to the huddle and he was like, I don't know if these guys expect me to do that a lot, but I can't do that. Bryce Pop was a pass rusher. He was like,
he should have checked this.
Yeah, he wasn't like Connor Barwin, you know. Connor could be a jack of all trades like that. But they signed him, and that's what they expected him to do.
Yeah.
They just, when you see teams sign guys that don't seem like scheme fits, you always figure, maybe they have a plan. No, they had no plan.
No.
They were like, nope, we're going to use him in a completely different way than the thing that earned him all that money.
That's wild, man. They went back of the football card. So it's funny. We're going to talk to Nick Caserio today on the show at 7:30. He'll join us for his we talk to Nick about once a month, I would say. So we'll talk to him at 7:30 on the show. Was there anything about what the Texans did this offseason? Because they did a lot of that. You know, they brought in a lot of veterans. Some, I mean, you know, Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon. They're all either over 30 or close to 30 now. Was there anything about what the Texans were doing that you felt resembled what they were doing in Jacksonville? Or were the Texans doing it a little bit more just kind of a little bit more responsibly, maybe the word might be?
Are you asking me that, or is that what you're asking Nick?
No, well, hey, Nick, do you feel you were being more responsible than Tom Coughlin?
No, it's a good question. Like, as far as, all right, how do you strike that balance between being really aggressive but also understanding? I will tell you, Belichick's philosophy and theory was always the long-term management of the team is you gotta manage the team such that, yes, you're being aggressive, and now the Patriots are not aggressive in free agency, but the reason you keep a long-term perspective is that in the short term, or like in the next three to five years, your best chance at winning a Super Bowl is to go to the conference finals every year. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you want to have as many shots at it as possible.
Because you'll break through eventually.
Yeah, when you're all in one given year, it's kind of like you're trying to go for that moonshot, and if you miss it, you're spinning off into orbit. So that's where, I know it's frustrating as a fan, where you're like, why aren't you signing this guy? Why aren't you signing that guy? And it is still... It's still a short-term strategy to think a little bit more long-term.
Well, and even the guys they signed or traded for, you know, are, if for some reason it goes sideways, and it's gone sideways with none of them so far. Yeah. Like, Nick has hit home runs in free agency and trades this past offseason. You know, with other than Mixon being banged up, I mean, Danielle Hunter, I think he's been good. I think the sacks are going to come with him. Stephon Diggs has been, I think, almost exactly what we expected Stephon Diggs to be. Mixon's been really good. I you're not committed to any of them for like a cap crippling amount of time. You know what I mean?
No, I think that's the biggest thing they did compared to when teams are really irresponsible about it is they kept everything very short term.
Yeah.
Like Nick very much manages it in a way of like, yeah, it's going to be a bunch of guaranteed money, but we're going to take our medicine. We'll only push a little bit of it off into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now, I think especially, I know Nick doesn't like to talk about it in terms of the rookie quarterback contract window. But it's there. Like, you understand and appreciate, okay, we've got a really good quarterback without having to pay for him right now, really, and we've got this money to spend. We can't spend it into that contract year for CJ Stroud.
Has Brandy heard the good news yet about her her broadcast idol doing our game on Sunday?
She'll probably like hearing this as opposed to my Jacksonville hose. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you give the news to her right now. Yeah.
Tony Romo is going to be doing this game this Sunday.
How about that?
Yeah. This is the...
Texans get the A-team, man.
Wait, is this the late afternoon game?
No, then? it's a noon game. We're still getting the A-team here,
So we're probably going to get... Now, Brandy, this is where Brandy and I differ, is Brandy wants drunk Romo, where I'm hoping for sober Romo.
Yeah.
And at noon, I'm guessing we'll probably get sober Romo.
Noon in
Green
Bay,
not that he's ever
though.
Drunk on air, but when I say drunk Romo, I mean he sounds like he's drunk.
I don't know, man. If Romo gets a whiff of that parking lot before the game, I've been to the parking lot outside Lambeau, man. They ain't scared at 8 in the morning, you know?
I'm more worried about how many sausages he might eat.
Romo's asleep.
I don't want fat and happy Romo.
Asleep at 2:00.
Call the game from the parking lot.
God. Yeah, so we get Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson on the game on Saturday.
It does.
Sunday.
Brandy has bent me over to it, like at least enjoying Romo's enthusiasm. I can try to ignore the many weird things he says during a game that don't make any sense, as long as this is fun. It's kind of like when you watch a game with Ross Tucker. You're like, all right, this guy loves football.
His joy is real. It is a genuine, organic joy that he has of the game. I just wish he would study the actual teams that he's calling a little bit more. That's all.
Yeah, like when you have Charles Davis. I love having Charles Davis because Charles Davis will teach me something about the team that I watch every week.
That's right.
Because he actually really does his homework and everything, and he sees something that I haven't seen. I'm like, oh, thank you, Charles Davis.
Yep. All right, Jerry Jones made waves yesterday on our sister station up in Dallas. He got really, really, really upset when our counterparts up there, Sean and RJ, were asking questions about Jerry's very slow offseason they had this past summer.
He
got very agitated. I think his message to them is being misunderstood.
Oh, are we going to stick up for Jerry Jones?
A little bit, yes. I think he's being misunderstood, and I'll explain why.
Poor Jerry.
Coming up next. Aww.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We get to Jerry Jones. Of course, we mentioned the Cam Akers trade with the Texans. The two other big trades in the NFL yesterday, Devontae Adams to the Jets, Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills. That was a mild surprise. Cleveland, I don't know if Cleveland's starting to tear it down. Cooper has not been good this year, but those were the other two big trades. We'll hit those a little heavier in headlines and at the top of the hour, but those were big ones in the NFL. Like you said, the hot stove league was cooking yesterday in the NFL.
It makes sense. The Bills, it just makes so much sense. You watch them versus the Texans, and then on Monday Night Football, like Josh Allen just doesn't have anybody to throw to.
Yeah.
And even when they're open, they can't. They're like Omer Asik trying to catch these balls. They're they might as well have Omer Asik out there. You know, because they've always said that Josh does best with a guy with some wingspan and can create some separation. Omer has natural separation.
He's got wingspan, too, for days. So Jerry Jones yesterday made a lot of waves on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan, up in Dallas. And he got pretty salty when Sean and RJ were starting to kind of... They wanted his thoughts on the criticism that he didn't do enough this offseason to put this team in position to win a Super Bowl. They're 3-3 right now. And the crazy thing is their three losses are at home, and they're bad losses. Like, this goes back to the playoff game against the Packers last year. They have been horrible in front of those fans spending a ton of money on those very expensive tickets. So
90,000 plus.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of fans in that stadium. The saltiness with Jerry actually started right after the game on Sunday when he was asked by a reporter, are you considering making a coaching change in season?
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
Okay.
I feel like answering the hypothetical is almost as close as you can get to actually acknowledging that there's a hypothetical worth talking about.
Right.
That it wasn't necessarily. Now, we didn't hear the entire interview, but this wasn't the same as Jim Crane saying that, like, no, we're in this to go no matter what and blah, blah, blah. Like, Crane, you never doubt that, okay, it sounds like he's full force, full steam ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know. Him angrily denying, like, basically saying, you think I'm dumb enough to basically tell you that, oh, yeah, I've totally thought about when to hire Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
That is what he ended up saying there. He gave his answer without giving his answer.
The jarring thing about that was when he went back at the guy and said, do you?
Do you?
This is not a rhetorical question. Do
correct
you think I'm an idiot?
The answer there is yes, Jerry. You say weird stuff all the time.
Do you want to hear the answer?
Jerry, you're one of our examples we use that just because you're a billionaire doesn't mean that in all areas of life that you have aptitude and competence. No. I 100% believe that you might speak talking hypothetical.
There's a lot to dig into with this audio from 105.3 The Fan yesterday morning. Here is Jerry. This is the beginning of kind of the stretch that made the news yesterday. He gets very sensitive about looking backwards at this past offseason.
Now, don't tell me about should gotten a guy in the offseason.
Why not?
This isn't a damn word argument just because I'm not arguing with you. I'm dealing with how we line up against San Francisco, not what I did wrong last week or last month or 2 months ago or 2 years ago. If I really gave you guys a list of all the things I've done wrong over the last few years, you couldn't be on this program for the next 5 years steady and go over it. But every now and then you do some right things, and at the end of the day you add it up, and the rights give you a better spot than the wrongs. But if you think for any minute right now, there'll be one Super Bowl champion. What'd the others do wrong? There's one Super Bowl champion. Now, we want to be that champion. And I'm sure not throwing the towel in today because of what happened out there Sunday. But I'm not going to sit here and waste a lot of energy, a lot of time. Let's talk about what I should have done back in 1907 or 2017. Come on. I've got more time than that, and I actually don't even have time on this great show for looking back at decisions.
Okay, so the
and we got more. This I can't imagine. What people need to understand is Jerry Jones goes on that station twice a week.
Yeah, all the time.
And so there is there's already a relationship there with him and the hosts.
It's not like this is some gotcha journalist or It's not like they've got this relationship where, you know, he flat out doesn't want to talk to these guys.
He talks
to them all the time.
I can't imagine that over the decade plus they've been doing this hit with Jerry Jones, or however long they've been doing it, that they haven't asked him about moves that they've made in the past, and that the first clip we played, combined with this one, combined with the next couple, 2-3 that we're about to play, this is a man who feels like the walls are caving in a little bit, right? I think he's real nervous about what this team actually
Jerry
is,
right now. Reeling.
Yeah.
He is reeling. After one of those touchdowns the other day, they zoomed right up to Jerry in the box. I mean, they did it a bunch of times after one of the many Detroit touchdowns. And it was that awesome look of misery of an NFL owner.
Yeah.
Who knows? I love thinking about what's going on in their brain. They're like, well, like, at what point when they flash that, they're like, all right, I got to really fire this guy, or I got to fire that guy, or I got to have this conversation tomorrow. Like, what is he thinking in that moment? But all along, you know that no part of his brain is taking responsibility for the fact that since their last Super Bowl victory, the Cowboys have won 5 playoff games in total.
Right.
And now they're getting destroyed regularly in front of their team is out there. This is where owners start to get real sensitive. Mm-hmm. Is, man, the team is out there looking like they don't even want to be out there.
Yeah.
I don't care how many backups you've got backups playing on defense, and you might think, all right, well, yeah, versus a team like Detroit, they're gonna take some lumps. Right. But you'd think at least the backups, there's guys making business decisions out there on the field who are backups.
Yeah.
And like, no, your business decision is to hit everything that moves.
Right.
You should try to kill somebody out there today. You're not allowed to make business. Like, that's on a Mike Zimmer defense.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They don't look like they even want to play football.
It's crazy. Yeah, they're not playing for this coach. That's why he's getting asked about it. More from Jerry Jones Next up, he's asking these guys, what's your point in asking this?
I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Listen, let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? Now, if you think I'm interested in a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Okay.
I think I can sympathize with him in one regard, which is that, yeah, when you're a GM, any GM, every single GM that's ever been a GM in the NFL makes plenty of bad decisions or decisions that don't work out. You know, at one point, Jerry says, you know, like so sometimes there's good decisions you make that turn out really badly. Sometimes there's bad decisions that you probably shouldn't have made. And yet, you know what? The roll of the dice and it worked out. So I get what he's saying there. Yeah. I think the sum total of it is everything you've said, though, that it's just on the margins, it hasn't worked.
Right.
Like, he's not like every great hitter, in baseball is failing more than he's winning.
He get out 70% of the time. Yeah.
But he's down below the Mendoza line right
yes.
now.
Yes. Yeah, he is.
You know what they should have brought up? I'll feed some questions to them. The Drew Henson trade.
What was that, 2003?
Yes. We're going to go back. That was by far.
We're going to feed them some material.
The year the Texans drafted Drew Henson in the sixth round and then traded him for a third to the Cowboys. Once upon, the Cowboys gave him a 5-year contract guaranteed and it's just a disaster for them. Good job, Charlie Cassidy.
Jerry admits to making mistakes. He just doesn't feel like rehashing them yesterday is what it sounded like. Now, this is the clip that got everybody talking yesterday. This is the one where we'll let you take a listen. Again, this is Jerry Jones on with Sean and RJ up on 105.3 The Fan. And this is where it gets personal with the two hosts.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Well, okay, so that got interpreted by virtually everybody yesterday as Jerry mm-hmm. Jones was threatening to go to 105.3 management and say, fire these two guys. And I'll be honest with you, this isn't even after sitting down and re-listening to it multiple times and trying to look at it from different angles, because I think that's what you got to do in this business is put yourself in the shoes of others. And I thought this, the very first time I heard this, the very first time I read the quote in transcript, is that I just thought he was saying, I'll take my weekly interview to another day part. Is all. Like, I literally thought, like, it didn't even dawn on me that he was threatening to get these guys fired. I thought he was just saying, I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I thought he was saying, I'll just go to the midday show or the afternoon show.
Well, you know what, Sean? To go back to another glorious moment in the Texans' history, this is very much like when Nick Wright and John Lopez used to have Matt Schaub on every week.
Yes.
And one day in that 2013 season, things were just a mess. And at one point, Nick Wright asked Matt Schaub a question along the lines of, like, okay, why do you think you still deserve to be the Texans starter?
Right.
And Matt Schaub didn't like that question. And then all of a sudden, Matt Schaub was doing his weekly show, but he was doing it on Texans radio instead of with Nick Wright and John Lopez.
Yep.
John Lopez still gainfully employed with the station.
Right.
Nick Wright, I don't know where he is, but he's. I hope he's doing well. I hope he. It worked out fine for Nick Wright. Did not get fired, and obviously he went on to do to great success.
So yes.
I tend to think that you're right on this, Sean. I think it, Jerry was just saying, like, I'll just do this show with somebody else if this is what it's going
to
be like.
That's what I thought. I mean, and I thought this isn't me trying to like rationalize my way into it. That's the first thing that popped into my head. And maybe you're right. And subconsciously, I had the Matt Schaub thing in the back of my head because that's exactly what happened. We got a couple more Jerry's.
It was a fair question. Nick got a lot of hate for that. And it was
totally
like,
fair question.
Yeah,
like totally fair.
He'd thrown like 900 pick sixes by that point this season.
Here's more Jerry Jones getting agitated with the fellas.
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners. And I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. And we can spend a lot of time going over zigging and zagging. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Jerry Jones here on The Fan.
The funny thing is, like, Jerry Jones ended up doing an interview with Diana Rossini later in the day. I'm guessing over the phone because she wrote an article about it with some direct quotes from Jerry Jones. And even after getting a period of time, presumably to cool off, he's still going after Sean and RJ. Like, it's still, his message hasn't changed. He says, the facts are that I'm going to get grilled by the tribunal. I don't need it to be by the guys I'm paying. And that got a lot of run, that quote. I can take it from fans and I can take it from other people. I take a lot of pride in how fair and how much I try to work with the media. We are brothers and sisters. But I was a little frustrated there today. My point is, there's no question, I'm sure they would have liked to have grilled me like the fans are thinking, what are you going to do about that? I get it. I get all of that. And really will go along with it. The wrong ones were doing the questioning. If those had been real fans sitting there, if those had been people that knew what they were talking about, football people, I might have had a different answer. He's basically saying Sean and RJ are idiots, is what he's saying.
I saw somebody else from the fans say that, all right, that's great and all, but Jerry does not hobnob with the regular fans or do. It doesn't sound like Jerry does a lot of just getting out there and cooking barbecue for the fans and whatnot. Who knows? He's got his people that pay like an exorbitant price to be in the Cowboys health club there that they have at the facility and everything. But yeah, I wonder about just the rank and file everyday fan. I don't know if he's out there.
Something, man.
Him.
That was something yesterday.
That's they're in a rough spot. And I just, what are the chances? The obvious thing is that Mike McCarthy is not the guy to do it. And nobody ever really thought he was. Yeah. I mean, given once it blew up in his face in the playoffs, you should have thought like, oh, okay, this is okay. Mike McCarthy is just a guy who can take a really good thing and make it like almost a little bit worse than it should be.
Yes.
Like he did with the Packers forever. Yep. That's him. That's what he does.
Yep.
But I bet Mike McCarthy is still the head coach of the Cowboys in December of next year.
Depending,
that's my prediction.
Okay, well, then you're predicting the Cowboys are going to be respectable this season.
No, Jerry just isn't going to. He's just not going to fire him.
You think they go 5-12 this year, and Mike McCarthy's still the coach next December?
That would be the most likely thing. The only thing that gets you fired for sure in Dallas is winning multiple Super Bowls. Other than that, you're safe. You're safe.
Kept
Jason Garrett around forever. I mean, Mike McCarthy already admitted to lying to Jerry on his, like, that's at true. The actual introductory press conference, McCarthy admitted to lying to Jerry.
Yep.
And Jerry's like, yeah, I'm lapping this all up.
Yep.
Woo-hoo!
No, You're right. All right, let's get to the trades yesterday in the NFL. Texans made a trade, two big wide receiver trades. We've got some Astros nominated for some awards. We've got some baseball playoffs. We've got a lot to get to in headlines. Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30 on the show. Stay there.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans. They are back at practice today, getting ready for Green Bay this weekend. One of the marquee games on the slate. Texans getting the A-team announced group from CBS. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo will be on that one. You can hear the game on the radio. Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware here on Sports Radio 610. Noon kickoff on Sunday. They'll be back at practice. We'll get an injury report today. Which will be significant, especially at the linebacker position.
Yeah.
They traded Cam Akers yesterday as well, Seth. So I think it probably feels like, okay, I think it's a good sign, like, okay, Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, the health issues, they're pretty comfortable with where they are. And as you pointed out earlier, you know, there's other guys coming back, so they've got to kind of rejigger this roster, be a little more, like, they activated Kurt Heinisch yesterday. They may have some things they need to do on defense with, you know, they've got injuries on defense now, so they've got to kind of have a little roster flexibility.
Right, there. When at the beginning of the season, you had Kurt Heinisch and Danico Autry both off the active Autry roster, one on IR, yep. One on the suspension list. So when those guys come back onto the roster, we looked at the running backs room and the wide receivers room, and you thought, okay, well, these are swollen numbers for that position group. So it made sense that one of the running backs was going to go. They still have more running backs on the roster than most teams do. Mm-hmm. So it's not like... It was a nice story with Cam Akers, and it's absolutely incredible that as a running back he's come back from two Achilles tendon tears, and a nice little bit of pocket change you picked up for basically nothing. Just you signed him off the street at the beginning of training camp, and then now you get like it's a seventh round pick.
You move up 20, 30 spots in the back end of the draft in a couple of years. Yeah, it's not nothing. Now, more significant trades yesterday, at least in terms of the NFL landscape, and we'll dig into these and what they mean a little bit more at 7 o'clock today. Devontae Adams to the New York Jets, that is for a conditional third that could turn into a second. We found out the terms yesterday as well. That becomes a second-round pick if he either is first or second-team All-Pro this year, which I think that ship has probably sailed.
That's tricky, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
tough. Or if the Jets make the AFC title game or Super Bowl, and he's active in those games. So, yeah, so that's
pretty high bar. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a third round pick.
I don't know that. I'm not counting anything out with the Jets right now. It's a team of destiny, Sean.
Okay.
And so I'm tired of you trying to deny it. You and all the other haters.
Yeah.
Sean and RJ.
If you say so.
Like everybody.
Yep. So Devontae Adams, who, by the way, was in New York yesterday morning, like he showed up. We'll play some of the audio. Aaron Rodgers did his weekly McAfee hit yesterday.
Yeah.
And he does it on Zoom. And at one point in the middle of the interview, I don't know if you saw this, Seth, like Devontae Adams pops up in the background. He basically photobombs Aaron Rodgers.
Pat acted like he didn't know it was going to happen. It was,
Pat does work for WWE, I will point out.
And Pat cut his forehead with a razor blade he had stashed in his
wristband. Right. I mean, it was kind of a WWE holy bleep moment, though, like when he popped up from back there. Like,
that's Devontae Adams music.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that is Devontae Adams walkout music. Yeah. It was kind of, I don't like the Jets. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I'm neutral on Devontae Adams. I think he sounded ridiculous when he was frustrated with the Raiders, considering he wanted to go to the Raiders.
Yeah.
I thought the wrestling fan in me is like, that's pretty cool. You know, I didn't expect that. You know, it's that's live radio / TV right there. That's pretty sweet.
It is. So now you've got, your hopes and dreams are riding on a 31-year-old wide receiver that we'll see exactly.
Yep.
And with a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers who just will go out and just publicly explain exactly what the wide receivers did wrong to the media.
Yeah, and then claim the next day he wasn't throwing him under the bus, Mike Williams.
Yeah.
We'll get to more of the Devontae Adams trade at the top of the hour. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers at the top of the hour. Again, Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30 on the show today. The other trade, Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills. And from what I saw on the Cleveland side of things yesterday, I went and listened to a little bit of Cleveland radio on my way home yesterday afternoon. And
listen to so much Cleveland radio.
I do. I take such joy in where they are right now. That was us 3 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a lot of... I was expecting a lot of, well, this means they're tearing it down, and it may mean they're tearing it down, and just, you know, they realize they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
There was a lot of don't let the door hit you on the way out, Amari. He's been bad this year. Yeah, he's been... He's not the same guy that... had 265 yards receiving against the Texans.
Well, no, I wonder with Amari Cooper, and honestly, without having, I haven't been diving in deep on the Browns this year, other than just the headline stuff. I mean, with a veteran quarterback like Joe Flacco versus whatever the hell Deshaun Watson is, I don't know. He's obviously a veteran quarterback, but he's just not operating on the same level. Who knows? Maybe you can form some kind of relationship with Russell,
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen. I think it's a good trade for Buffalo. He went for a third round pick too, by the way. That was the cost, was a third round pick. Buffalo needs somebody. I love the petty part of me. Isn't even about Cleveland with this trade. It's more with Buffalo that they've got to admit that their let's get rid of Diggs plan that they were all so hepped up about two, three games into the season. Like, oh, it's so much better that we have guys that don't care about stats and I'm spreading it around to everybody.
Because you know that Bills game week, I did a bunch of interviews with people up in Western New York, from media members who had covered me when I was a high school football player.
Right.
And, they almost all universally said, like, look, it was what it was on the interpersonal side of things, but you look at this, you look at the group of wide receivers Josh Allen has right now, and Stephon Diggs is obviously slam dunk the best of any of
light
them.
Years.
So it's not like they don't miss him. Yeah. So it's a complicated situation.
But they were acting like they didn't miss him early in the season when they got off to such a good start. You know, when they blew out Miami, they blew out Jacksonville, and Josh Allen's making these quotes.
They didn't blow out Miami, though.
Well, they beat them 31-10. You're thinking of Arizona.
Oh, no, never mind. I'm thinking of the previous.
Yeah, Arizona. Yep. Arizona, yeah. They had a close game with in week one. Astros news. Alex Bregman, Mauricio Dubon, and Jake Meyers all nominated for Gold Gloves yesterday. How about that? Breggy, Dubon, a defending Gold Glove winner at the utility position. And how about Jake Meyers? Chalk one up for the advanced stats, man, for Jake Meyers and the amount of ground he covers and all that.
It's the Gold Glove. It's not the Gold Glove and throwing arm. It's like how well are you at hoovering it up?
And
then we won't talk about what you do with it afterwards.
I think Bregman.
Get a relay guy to get it to second base.
Yeah.
have Yordan run over and relay it to second.
Yeah. He's really good at the other parts because his arm is not good. He must be really good at the other parts.
He's like a blind person with an incredible sense of smell.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, if you're an Astro fan, are you rooting for Bregman to win this Gold Glove? Because it could tack like another million onto whatever his salary is over the next few years. That's one more bullet that Scott Boras has when he sits down with the Astros.
And into his big folio that he sends the team.
Yeah. Now he's got Gold Glove. We'll see. Alex Bregman.
Talk about, is there any bigger fake hustle than Scott Boras's files that he sends the teams?
Probably.
He sends them like 300-page binders making a case for his giving him to an organization that probably has
there.
All of those stats
it's
already.
Up there. Yeah, it's up there for sure. It's
I'm a team. There. I'm like, no, I will maybe use this as a doorstop or something.
Yep.
Go die.
The Yankees take a 2-0 lead on the Guardians last night, 6-3, the final score. Gerrit Cole got chased in this game before the fifth inning was over. Cleveland had a bunch of guys on base against Gerrit Cole. Like he wasn't great. He was shaky. But the bullpen came in and put out the fire, and now the Yankees lead the Guardians 2-0. The NLCS resumes tonight. The Mets and the Dodgers are tied at 1 over in the National League. All right, Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30 on the show. Clock's going to run a little different in the 7 o'clock hour because Nick's on at 7:30 with us. But we will be back here in a few minutes to get into the 7 o'clock hour. The big wide receiver trades that we dug into, how does Davante Adams change the landscape in the AFC, or does he change it at all? One metric says not at all, and we will tell you what that is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.